Out. Look out. I'm not wearing a robe. I'm not wearing that heavy stole. I cut George's scripture reading down. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Strap yourselves down. Going to be a long sermon. Going to be a long sermon because it's Father's Day and no one's rushing to take fathers out anywhere. See, Mother's Day, we have to watch our time. Father's Day, who cares? You know how it... No, I'm speaking the truth. I am speaking the truth, all right? Originally, the title of the sermon was Suffering. That's what it was because I knew it was going to be Father's Day. And I was thinking about my poor family. And how much they've had to suffer with me. You have no idea. You think you have it bad? You should be with me 24/7. I still remember, bless her heart, Marlena was like 4 or 5 years old. Diana was away serving a chrysalis team. And Marlena, knowing that she has me wrapped around her finger, and knowing that we had a household rule that limited TV time, came up to me and asked me, can I watch TV? She knew it wasn't the TV time, but she asked me anyways because she figured mom's not home, dad lets me have whatever I want. So she asked me, can I watch TV? I said, sure, mom's not here. You can watch TV. In fact, you can watch as much TV as you want. Just don't turn it on. It's bad. It's bad. Poor. Some of you know Diana hates taking elevators. She don't like elevators. Well, I told her, I said, well, I don't like stairs. And she goes, why don't you like stairs? I said, because they're always up to something. Oh, bad, bad, bad. Do you know why you tell actors to break a leg? Because movies and plays always have a cast. See how they suffer? Do you see how they suffer? What do you do for a dog that has a fever? What do you do for a dog that has a fever? You put mustard on it. You put mustard on it. Because mustard is good on a hot dog. And I want to know why Andres doesn't want to walk with me anymore. Suffering. I keep hoping that I'm going to be a better joke teller. Oh. I keep hoping that I'm going to be a better husband. And I hope I'm a better parent. Hope I'm going to be a better Christian. That I can be a better minister. I keep hoping that the Dolphins are going to be a better football team. I have things that I hope for, but what we hear in this scripture is not about hoping for something, it's about hoping in someone. And that's what we're going to talk about. Christianity is the only world religion, that confesses a God who suffers. God suffers. By entering into that experience on the cross, God suffered. He suffered pain. He suffered desertion. He suffered betrayal. He suffered death. He suffered. But by entering into that suffering, entering into that wreckage of the planet, he transformed suffering into a resurrection. He transformed it to a resurrection by daring to enter into it and by daring to suffer. The power of a suffering God is not to prevent our pain, but to redeem it by suffering through it with us. I'm not going to be talking about suffering, but that's a foundation. That's the cornerstone for the Christian hope. That's what it's about. I'm not going to talk about the endurance and the character. You know about that. You've already been through all that. I want to talk about hope. Not wishful thinking, not that false hope, not that angels in the outfield hope, but the hope of a God who's in the dugout with you when you've just struck out and disappointed the entire team and stadium. We are in the hope business. We are people of hope, and we never outgrow hope. We never get too old for hope. If you look at history, if you've studied history, you know that, like in American history, there's certain eras of history. And one of the eras of our history was right after 1812. 1812, those of you who know history, and I know you don't, so I'm going to tell you what happened in 1812. All right? We beat the heck out of England again because they came back for seconds. Revolutionary War wasn't enough. War of 1812 against England, and we beat them again. And that period from 1812 to 1825 is known as the era of good feelings. Optimism just went, we beat them again. Optimism just permeated throughout the entire country. There wasn't anything we couldn't do. Nothing that we couldn't face. If we look at our era today, what are we going to call it? Era of division? We see politics, division. We see economics, division. We see racial, we're going backwards, division. Everywhere we look, it's division. The Center of Disease Control noted that in the last 3 years, for the first time in 100 years, the last 3 years, life expectancy in the U.S. has actually declined. And it's not because of heart disease, and it's not because of cancer. Believe it or not, those deaths are actually a little bit down. The causes of death that are soaring: drug abuse, the opioid crisis, alcohol-related death, and suicide. Those are diseases of despair. People living without any hope. See, they don't know what we know. You can have doubt and still have faith. They're not mutually exclusive. Sometimes our doubts are humongous. Sometimes our trouble is humongous. Sometimes our pain, our sorrow is just tremendously big. And it seems so large, and our faith so small. And we remember the words of Jesus: if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, that's all you need. It's not about how big our faith is, because our God is big. All we have to do is put our trust, our faith, our hope in Him, not for all the other things that see we are people of hope, and the world is needing hope, but we are forgetting that. We're not living in hopeless times. Oh, look how bad everything is. Oh, everything is so hopeless. We are living in hopeless times. No. We are living in forgetful times. We have forgotten who we are. We are people of hope. Amen. That's the message that we bring. That's what we do. Do you remember the Disney movie, the animated movie, Lion King? It was out before you were born, I know. But there was, and there's a scene, if you remember, right? Simba has run off and gone away and all of that. And finally, Nala and Rafiki, they track him down. They track him down, and they're coming back into him and into his life, and he's trying to put him off with that whole Hakuna Matata thing and all this other stuff, and they're not buying any of it. And Rafiki, remember, takes Simba, all right, to a pool of water. Hello, Christians. Can you hear baptism in that? Takes him to a pool of water and says, your father's in there. Remember that? Your father is in there. And Simba's excited, and he goes to look, and he says, that's not my father. That's just my reflection. And Rafiki, remember, has that stick. He takes his stick, he stirs the water, he says, look again. And he looks again and he sees his father. His father. And he hears his father coming through the stars, and he hears his father, and he hears that voice. You have forgotten who you are. You have forgotten who you are, Simba. I live inside of you. And God is looking at us as Christians and saying, I live inside of you, and you have forgotten who you are. Simba was the child of the king. We are children of God. And we reflect his image to a world that desperately needs to hear some good news. That's what we do as Christians. We share good news. We don't share condemnation and hell and judgment. No, no. We share words of love and grace. We share words of hope and God's presence. That's what we do. That's what we're called to do. Yes, there is pain in the world. Yes, there is suffering in the world. Yes, there is injustice in the world. Yes, there is all kinds of... And sometimes the days just go on, and the weeks, and the months, into years. And we wonder, is it ever, ever, ever going to end? And that's why we cling to hope. That's what empowers us. Because no matter what else is going on, we can hope. We hope. We hope. We may be beaten up. We're not beaten down. Amen. We may be defeated. We're not destroyed. And in those fires and pain of that experience, when that's the forges where our character is formed. That's where God begins to mold us, to burn off all these other desires we think that we want, and we hope we're going to hope for this, and we're going to hope for this job, and we're going to hope for... No, 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 God, take it. He says, that's not the character. That's not the seed. That's not what I've planted inside of you, to care about material wealth or blessings or success in business or success. No. I have created you to be my child, to reflect my love, to reflect my grace, who can take suffering and transform it. Our hope is in that God. Takes suffering and transforms it. Transforms it to a resurrection. Takes death and transforms it into life. Takes despair and transforms it into hope. Part of what we have to remember, too, is that Christianity is not just about believing in God. It's about accepting the truth that God believes in us. It's not about an accomplishment. It's about a relationship. That's what it's all about. That's what Jesus was talking about. That's what Jesus tried to show us. I know I've shared this story so many times, but I love it so much. And it's Father's Day, so you're stuck. The TV series West Wing. The TV series where, and Jeff Bartlett, he's the president of the United States, and he's got three daughters, all right? Liz is the oldest, she's married. Zoe's the youngest, she's at home, all right? And then there's Ellie. Ellie's the middle child. You know how they are. Ellie is in medical school, Johns Hopkins University. She's in Baltimore. It's not that far from D.C. She's in Baltimore. She never comes home, never. But she gets onto the media. Says some terrible things that puts the president in a really difficult place. And, oh, he's mad. He's angry. And he says to the Secret Service, whoever it is, you fetch my daughter and bring her back. They're going to the woodshed. They're going to be going to the woodshed. Remember how that worked out? And Ellie shows up, and they have this huge argument, you know. And he's talking about how much she's made his job so much more difficult by spouting off, and he's protected her, and he's always tried to keep the press away from her, and here she is seeking these problems, and now she's created this humongous problem for him to have to try to deal with it. And he's going on about that. And he's going, and you never want to be with us. And you're just always doing this stuff. And you're doing that. And you're doing that. You're always so unhappy. You're always so... And she stops him and says, look, I don't know how to make you happy, Dad. You'll have to talk to Liz. Or Zoe. And then he gets interrupted. They leave it hanging like that. towards the end of the movie. And they're in the White House. I think they're in the private little theater watching some silly movie or something. And he keeps having to go in and out and in and out. So he's not spending any time with her. He comes to her finally and says, "The only thing you ever had to do to make me happy was come home. Come home." One of the, if not the most powerful parable Jesus ever told was the parable of the prodigal son. You remember that parable, don't you? You know how young his kids are? Oh my God, they're pain. You know, and the youngest son goes off. Remember, give me everything. It wasn't even his yet. Give it to me anyway. I'm going to go off. I don't want any restraints. I don't want to live in a constrained life. I've got things I want to do. You're holding me back. And off he goes. Remember how that story goes, don't you? You remember how it happens? Off he goes, runs out of money, runs out of friends, runs out of everything. Until you get to verse 17. And when you get to verse 17 there of chapter 15, you get to verse 17, the youngest son comes to himself. He remembers his identity. And more importantly, he remembers his father's identity. "And my father is a fair and just man. Even the servants are treated better. I will go back to him." See, the strength of that parable isn't just that the youngest son returned. Because, hey, let's face it, the oldest son, he left too. He just didn't never physically leave. He was on a path of pride and self-righteousness. He failed to live in the house of love and grace that his father had right there. Both sons are lost. But in that parable, the father, as it unfolds at the beginning, he lets his younger son go. Lets him go. But he never let go of hope. There wasn't a day when that father didn't pray. Not a day where he didn't hope that his youngest son's eyes would be opened and he would recognize the love and grace he wanted to be able to bestow upon him. He never let go of hope. And God looks at us, no matter how wayward we've been, or no matter how self-righteous we've become, God continues to have hope. It's not just about us believing in God. It's about God hoping that we will return home. Return to love, return to grace, return to the people that share good news. That hope isn't something we're just supposed to hold on to. Because we live in a time when people need to hear words of hope. We live in a time when people need to have some encouragement. We live in a time when people need to know. We believe in a God of hope. We believe in a God who always has open doors, open arms, open heart. That's who we are. And we share that message of hope. We let people know of that hope. That's what we do as Christians. We may not have all the answers. We don't have all the wealth. We don't have all the wisdom. What we do have is hope. And our hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out upon us. Amen.
Amen.